Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends!
Yo. Nima V, did you enjoy another week in Babylon?
Another week in Babylon, man. Yeah, it's, I guess. Nowadays, you know, as far as it comes to statism in the state of Washington, I just sort of roll my eyes and ignore it and think of the freedom to come one day, hopefully.
Well, you know, Rastafarians use the word Babylon for the world, but they also use it for the police.
The police? Okay.
They call the police Babylon.
Yeah, because that's what they are. They're enforcement of Babylon, right? They enforce the evil tower.
Worms.
So, how was your week in Babylon? Is it still Babylon in Wyoming? Or
maybe. We'll see. I mean, so much happened news-wise this week that I don't even know where to begin. And there's, like, some things that would normally be 10 minutes of talk that I'm just going to mention and move on. I mean, it's like, who cares that Arnold Schwarzenegger has a love child by an ugly woman?
I actually missed that. That's so low on my radar.
He just came out, now that he's not governor anymore, that he has a 14-year-old son by some woman that his wife didn't know about and nobody knew about. The woman's ugly, too. I saw a picture of her.
Well, why you gotta hate?
Why do I gotta hate?
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe it was dark.
Because he's a stud muffin and should be able to have anyone he wants. I don't know. I'm just pushing on him. Poking him.
Poking him. Poking the Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds kind of gay, though.
The head of well, he has a really little dick, too. There's a famous naked picture of him, but that's probably the steroids.
Okay.
Now, and the International Monetary Fund's chief has been accused of raping an African woman.
Yes. I did see that. I saw that headline, and I saw that Ron Paul took a shot at the IMF because of it. And it's actually been getting play in the international press. But I actually didn't look into the, you know, sexcapade aspect of it. What exactly are they saying happened?
John Stewart said the fact that she was African is just like a perfect microcosm of what the IMF does. Raping Africa.
Right. Oh, that's perfect. Way to go, Stewart. Yeah.
Said it's like he was posing for his own political cartoon.
Right.
I don't know. Who cares? Let's move on.
All right.
The ATF started a wildfire in Texas.
Now, that actually was a really funny one. Because the county attorney is actually throwing shots at the ATF. He had this great quote, and he says, you can quote me on it, that bunch has a real corner on stupid.
It's a very Texan remark.
Very Texan, and it's great to see somebody in a county throwing shots at the feds. Apparently, they started 150-acre wildfire by blowing stuff up.
We're from the government and we're here to help you. You know, between that and them giving guns that get converted to machine guns to Mexican gangsters to see how Mexican gangsters use guns.
Really? I missed that one too.
You don't know about Project Gunwalker?
No, go ahead and tell me a little about it.
Well, it's called Project Gunrunner. Really? I can't believe you haven't heard this one. For the past year or so, the ATF has had a policy. You know, when someone comes into a gun store and makes a buy that looks wonky, the gun store owner has to call the ATF. And they had Mexican nationals coming into Phoenix area gun stores and buying like 30 or 40 AK-47s and AR-15s.
Okay. Yeah.
With cash.
Nice.
You know, and acting hinky. And so the gun store called the ATF, and the ATF just developed this policy of saying, let them buy them and we'll track them. And one of them.
Wait,
one
so
of
are
them
they
was,
bugging them or what?
No, they're just like, okay, let them go. We'll follow them into Mexico best we can and see what happens. And one of them was used to kill an American recently.
Hmm.
So the ATF is doing the opposite of what they're technically supposed to do. You know,
they can't even do their job right when it comes to doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, it's not even not doing their job right. They're doing their job wrong. They're doing the exact opposite of what they're doing. They are putting guns in the hands of violent criminals.
Right, right. Yeah, and it seems to me the ATF is one that a county official can, just a regular county official can take a shot at, because they do sort of have a reputation as being where you go if you can't get into the FBI or the CIA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
They're the short bus version of the feds, and that's saying a lot.
Hmm, I didn't know that. So speaking of Texans, I saw Ted Nugent on TV the other day. This was kind of interesting. I was watching Huckabee for no other reason.
Shame
than
on you.
I know. I was doing. It was research, man. Right, research right. For this podcast. I was convinced he was going to announce. I mean, he set it up like he was going to announce for president. He started the show with, "I've got a very important announcement at the end of this show that will affect the future of this program," which is like, I'm like, he's going to announce. Can once he announces, he can't do the program. And he had some guy talking about Hispanic rights and immigration. And I'm like, okay, he's getting their vote.
He's pandering.
Yeah. And then he had Ted Nugent on. And I'm like, okay, he's going with the Republican NRA gun vote. And then he played some music with Ted Nugent. And, you know, Huckabee plays bass really not very well.
Well, as a bass player, are you just hating or what? I didn't actually watch
it. I am not just hating. I mean, he plays... He sits in with all kinds of oldies bands that he has on his show, and he generally is reading sheet music. And it's like, if you can't play, you know, 3 or 4 chord rock song that you've heard a million times without sheet music, you suck. But even with the sheet music, sometimes he hits wrong notes in really simple songs that, like, everyone's heard a million times.
Does he sort of shrug his shoulders and the camera does like a little wah, wah?
No. He pretends it isn't happening when he hits clams.
Right.
You ever heard that term?
Oh,
clams?
Yeah, definitely heard that term.
He played Cat Scratch Fever with Ted Nugent.
Well, if he was a true bass player, he would have played Stranglehold, because that has an amazing bass line.
I know. And if he was a true rocker, he would know Cat Scratch Fever, because he would have played it in bar bands for 40 years. But it was kind of interesting, because Huckabee is Mr. like Family Values Voters, and he's playing bass on this song that's about banging teenage pussy.
Right, Cat Scratch Fever. Yeah, I remember the first time I heard it, I was like 13, and my mom didn't want me to hear it. And I was like, really, a rock song you don't want me to hear?
Yeah.
But yeah, that song's totally about, you know, boning.
Yeah, and Ted seemed like he especially... carefully
took joy in
enunciate
that.
And enunciated all the words.
Nice.
Yeah. And then at the end of it, Huckabee said, "I'm not running for president." And I muted it and turned to my wife and said, "I wonder how much Trump paid him to bow out." And then we looked back at the TV and Trump was talking. I clicked the volume back on and then it was done. I mean, it was only on for like 5 seconds. And I was like, whoa, I was right. But then the next day, Trump pulled out. And then the 2 days later, Gingrich looks like he's not in the running, because he's basically says he loves Obamacare or something like that. I don't know what he did, but he pissed off all the Republicans.
Right. He tripped up and mentioned that we shouldn't get rid of things too fast, because he doesn't want, you know, there to be a right-wing extremism kind of thing. So
yeah,
he sort of made a big slip up, big no-no, which Gingrich was always sort of an establishment hack in a lot of ways. So I don't really get that in the first place. It's all good news for Ron Paul, sounds like.
Well, it's time for our freedom fix, then. Insert freedom fix. Freedom fix.
Freedom fix. Freedom fix.
So, what's a freedom fix, man?
All right, we have the segment Tyranny Today. Well, freedom fix is sort of the other end of the spectrum, the yin to that yang, the food to that liquor. And so, basically, it's when freedom's on the upswing. It's a good freedom story, something to say, okay, maybe we shouldn't all go cry ourselves to sleep at night.
It's the opposite of a Tyranny Today.
And
Nima made a wonderful little sound logo that has him rapping and my wife moaning. He wasn't making her moan. I sent him the file. But yeah, I'm the man.
Right.
There was actually, I don't think you used the other one. The other one had two women and me in it.
Yeah, I didn't use that. It was kind of weird sifting through that to sample.
Was it like listening to your parents?
Yeah, it gave me the chills. In fact, I'm surprised you mentioned where I got that sample from on the air.
Hey, I gotta give props to myself when props are due.
Okay, good deal. But anyway,
so freedom fix, Freedom Fix, Ron Paul is doing well. There's three people that are out of the race now. That's good.
That's good. And I think he's been getting some good coverage. I mean, NPR did a feature on how he appeals to young voters. And it's because young voters like freedom. And that was on NPR. And it wasn't like, oh, kooky, crazy old uncle. That's not how they portrayed him. And, I've seen some other mainstream people who not maybe don't give him the, yeah, Ron Paul's going to win, but they don't dismiss him. They mention him in their list of Republicans in the field, and they mention him as how different things will affect him, like Huckabee leaving, and how that means good news for Ron Paul, because the people who want somebody who's going to buck the GOP establishment, you know, Ron Paul's looking more and more like that one, especially because he never compromises, ever. And Jon Stewart's segment portrayed that beautifully when he showed that he played some segments of Ron, some clips of Ron from the debate, and was like, come on, Ron, all you have to do is pander to the base, throw in some stuff about not having gays in the military, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
But no, Ron isn't going to do that. He's not going to play politics. He's just going to play freedom. So that is my freedom fix. It's the hope that, you know, I don't even know if he'll win, and I don't know if it's a freedom fix just if he wins or just because it's looking like he could win. I think it's a freedom fix because these freedom issues are now getting mainstream play, and actually not just with derision, but with a little bit of respect too.
Yep. Word. NPR.
NPR.
I heard some comedian, it was the day before I saw Ted Nugent on Huckabee. It was some comedian from a couple of years ago talking about, you know, the guy's obviously Democrat, but he was like talking about what the conservatives do right and what the liberals do wrong. And he's like, you listen to NPR and it's like, you know, and now some pan flute music from the second century. And then you turn on Fox News and it's the most like balls out gut bucket rock and roll ever. It's like, when did the conservatives steal rock and roll? And then like 2 days later, it's like Ted Nugent playing what is probably one of the greatest example of just gut bucket balls out rock and roll. You know, if I had a short list of songs that define kicking the balls, old school rock and roll, I think Cat Scratch Fever would be pretty near the top.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I definitely agree. So yeah, what did happen with that? Now you think of the left, or you think of NPR, and yeah, you think of that kind of stuff. And
he's like, you turn on NPR and they're like, scream singing is something that died out in the second century, but two Berkeley trust fund students have revitalized it. Here's an example.
Add a little social justice bullshit and there you have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I think the conservatives, the people who grew up listening to gut bucket rock and roll got old. That's what happened.
So what should we talk about next, Michael?
Well, you know, another freedom fix is that killing brown people has gone green. Talk about that.
I don't think that's a freedom fix at all.
I'm kidding. But it was presented as one.
It was totally presented as one. What we're talking about is, of course, the military has this, you know, this PR move. They did this article on one of the military news websites. The headline wasn't "Killing Brown People Goes Green," but that's what I thought when I first read it.
Yeah.
Basically, in Afghanistan, they're now going to be using lead-free bullets for their 223 rounds. They're going to be, what were they, Michael, some kind of steel core? Who knows if it's going to cost more, but they're just pushing it, saying, oh, this is green, this is better for the environment. Never mind that I think people should be one of the most important parts of the environment, and you're killing them with these bullets. So,
and there's an unintended consequence, or actually probably an intended consequence with this, is it may be a move to outlaw lead ammo eventually in the States. You know, they can say, well, the Army's doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a precedent. Be like our boys in uniform. Don't use
it
lead.
Steel is more expensive than lead. You know, ammo restrictions are weird. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but the EPA tried to outlaw lead ammo about a year ago.
Right.
And there was such an uproar with it, including some people basically saying someone's going to get shot if this happens.
Well, speaking of someone's getting shot, there was a story recently where the sheriff said that he could do random house searches, and a news outlet did the story, but the angle they took was that they're worried about people shooting officials because of this Supreme Court case that would allow this.
It just goes back to, like, if you were a cop, why would you want to be the attack dogs for the politicians? You know, you'll get yourself killed.
That's a very good point.
And what we mean by that is a lot of people have guns, and a lot of people, if someone kicks in their door, they're going to shoot first and ask questions later, which will get them killed, but it's also going to get cops killed.
Yeah, although in that case, I think my sympathy lies with the person who's trying to defend their home. And I think that's where our sympathy should lie. There was recently a case where a war veteran, I don't know if it was Afghanistan or Iraq, his wife was like, you know, somebody's trying to break into the house. He gets his AR-15 and goes and waits in the hall. And the guys bust in and just shoot him. It ended up, it was a drug sweep. They do no-knock raids and they just, he was ready with his gun because somebody was breaking into his house and he got capped.
Yep, and they probably, you know, took his wife's house.
I don't know if they did that. But yeah, I mean, he had a kid. And the kid's going to have to grow up knowing that the government killed his dad for no reason.
Was the warrant actually for him, or was it one of those mistaken identities?
I'm not exactly sure on that, but I think from a freedom perspective, it doesn't really matter. Because it was a drug warrant. So either way, they're going in for an illegal and immoral reason, and then the result is they kill a guy.
Well, I was just curious, because somewhere there was a, I think it was in Ohio, where they kicked in the wrong house and shot somebody. The person did not die, but they were injured. And the guy sued the cops. And when it was about to settle the lawsuit, the local cops had an honoring ceremony for the guys who did the raid. Like, as a PR thing to, like, help sway the lawsuit.
Let's all give ourselves medals kind of attitude.
Yeah, they did. They gave them medals for... None of them got shot, but the guy shot at them and missed, and they gave them medals for taking fire in the line of duty.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's like, I'm from L.A., where gangs dress up as cops and say police and kick in doors and do home invasions.
Yeah, and, well, the Supreme Court did recently rule, in Indiana at least, that if the cops break in, you have no right. There's no right to resist that, even if you aren't sure they're cops. The law will stand by the side of the goons that are busting into people's houses rather than the people that are getting their houses bust into. It's a great example of the failure of the court system to keep the government in check, because the courts are government courts.
Yeah. In Wyoming, you technically have the legal right to resist unlawful arrest, but I don't think it would ever work that way.
Yeah, and that's true, too, is, you know, no matter what you have.
And that's not if they kick in your door, because Castle Doctrine does not apply to if you shoot a law enforcement officer in the line of their duty, no matter how wrong their duty is. But there is something in the Wyoming law that if you're on the street and a cop tries to wrongfully arrest you, you have the legal right to resist. But I just don't think it would work that way.
No, because again, who runs the courts? The courts are the government courts, so they're never going to side with the people on anything, at least in any case where it's the people versus somebody from the government.
Yeah.
They have no incentive to.
Yeah, I mean, if it did, you know, Bernie Madoff is rightfully in prison, but Ben Bernanke should be sharing a cell with him.
Exactly.
Because the government does everything the government charges people with. I mean, the Fed is racketeering.
Well, the Fed is counterfeiting. And
It's fraud, counterfeiting, racketeering. Yeah.
And luckily, Ron Paul has been able to say that. It's so funny when he says that on, you know, a mainstream show and people are like, oh, come on now. That's taken a little bit far, saying they're counterfeiters. But that's what they are. Again, a lot of times it's like we live in bizarro world. It's strange to call counterfeiting printing millions of dollars out of thin air. Somehow that's strange to call it counterfeiting.
Yeah, and the Federal Reserve is actually also a Ponzi scheme, which is illegal. Ponzi scheme is where you have people invest at one level and pay them out at another level. It's kind of a pyramid scheme. And they're illegal because, I mean, in my libertarian paradise, they'd be legal if there was no fraud involved. Like a pyramid scheme where, you know, you send $1 each to 10 people and send them a list and they all move their name down on a list. There used to be chain letters, like now they have them by email, but I got a few as a kid, you know, I just threw them away. They also would say, like, you'll die if you throw this away, which should be wrong, you know, because little old ladies get scared.
Well, it's not wrong to say stupid stuff.
Yeah, but a Ponzi scheme is illegal because they're illegal, because when they arrest them, people lose money. The last people who invested lose money.
Right, right.
It's one of those things of like, drugs should be illegal because drug dealers are violent, and they're only violent because drugs are illegal.
They're violent because drugs are illegal, right.
So did you ever see that video of Ron Paul on some talk show where the Sex Pistols were playing?
No, that's pretty cool though. What talk show was it?
It was on The Tonight Show.
The Tonight Show. Oh, with Jay Leno.
With Jay Leno, yeah. He looked pretty horrified by them.
By the Sex Pistols?
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing, too, is people always say Ron Paul's not a social conservative, but he is in his personal life. I mean, he doesn't believe in abortion. I don't think he'd give the okay if any of his daughters or granddaughters wanted to have an abortion. All the normal socially conservative things he sort of follows. He's a devout Christian. He just doesn't want to use the government to impose his views on anybody. That's the difference. Some people are socially conservative and they want to use the government to enforce their own beliefs on other people. And there's a difference there. And for some reason, the American public has forgotten that not everybody wants to use the power of the government to enforce their own opinion. It's not about us entering this political warfare. Life should be about us believing in our own convictions strongly, but it shouldn't go past our own house or our own family. So he was pretty scared about the Sex Pistols, huh?
Well, he just had a distasteful look in his mouth, on his face.
I think media people like to try to shock Ron Paul like that. If you remember the Bruno clip where Bruno sort of pulled down his pants and showed him his dong.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call him media people, though. Sacha Cohen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a mainstream movie. I mean, everybody who saw that movie saw Ron Paul looking at a dong.
Yeah. So, you had a tyranny today.
And now, the NEMA News with Nima Vedati.
And now, for your daily dose of nanny statism in our daily segment, Tyranny Today.
Tyranny Today.
Yeah, and you actually said, we talked about this earlier, about how the Indiana Supreme Court said people have no right to resist unlawful entry or cops coming into their house. And this,
that's crazy.
Not only is it crazy, but just now, this happened, I think, on May 12th, the Supreme Court case was. And then recently, one of the county sheriffs there in Indiana says, well, you know, we could do random house searches if we wanted. You know, if we're looking for a criminal, we can just start randomly searching houses. People have no right to resist, so what's the point? Why not just do it? Let's do it.
Now, was their test case was a rapist, an escaped rapist?
Oh, I didn't read that. Did they actually start randomly search? I didn't know if they actually started randomly searching people's houses.
I thought I saw something about that. Well, the thing that I've noticed with heinous tyrannies of law, they always start with like the worst case scenario, you know, like an escaped rapist in the neighborhood. We need to be able to go into houses to find out where he's hiding. And then eventually it trickles down after that flies, it trickles down to, oh, you're smoking a joint. We can go in your house.
Right, right. And I'm not sure if this, I don't see it in the story I'm reading now, if they use something like that. But the sheriff does say that he thinks people would be okay with that if they knew it would make it easier to capture criminals. The sad thing is there probably are people that would be okay with that.
I think majority of people would think that. You know, not a high majority, but somewhere around 50, more 60%.
Maybe. A lot of people see uniforms or they see badges and they just automatically trust. It's almost a Stockholm syndrome. They just latch onto that. Oh, if they must want to do it, it may be okay. I think, like you mentioned to me, and when you see a SWAT team, it maybe in court, you can use that. Oh, well, this person was so bad, they had to call out the SWAT team.
Yeah, I think they call SWAT teams for a couple reasons. One is because people tend to just shoot now when people kick in their door, which we don't have a problem with. I mean, it makes sense when you don't know.
If somebody kicked in my door, I'd be shooting too.
Yeah, but I think they do it in cases that don't warrant that kind of military action to sway the jury. Like, you know, then people read about it in the paper, oh, SWAT team raids pot house. And they go, oh, they must be horrible people. Yeah. They needed, you know, the local army to come take care of them.
I could buy that. Maybe sort of a domestic shock and awe almost. You know, we had to bring out the big guns. This person. And then it's that circuitous reasoning because people in public schools don't learn logic or how to deduce things. So they think, oh, they go backwards. They think, oh, because they use this such a big response, it must have been really bad.
The war is coming at us from everywhere. You know, is just words. Like that thing we're talking about, the common sense gun law. That we think was anything but. They call it the common sense gun law because then if you disagree with it, you don't have common sense.
Right, right. And it's heartfelt. People like to hear those kind of words. They like to hear the common sense because if you're dumb enough, you think, oh, that's my common sense.
Yeah.
They always name things like that and manipulate language. I mean, Operation Enduring Freedom for the Iraq thing, right? Enduring Freedom to Die.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing is America and any country really that goes and does some kind of something under the guise of freedom fighting, and it's really just about oil and control and land and just being able to smear our seed wherever we want, so to speak. It's always, you know, like Bush was like, we need to spread freedom to Iraq. And it's like the people who didn't want Bush's brand of freedom were murdered.
Right, right. If you use the word and, you know, you are one of these officials, if the president says something, maybe it's getting better now, but a lot of people, when they hear something from the president, for some reason they believe it, either because they're partisan hacks or just because they have that much awe of somebody. Oh, this person's president. They must be, you know, have access to secret knowledge and things I don't know, and I have to just trust them. And it's not just a right-wing thing. It's not just a left-wing thing. I think we've seen it on both.
There's a thing that you're taught in grade school on of, like, respecting the office of the president. I've heard that term a lot. And it's, you know, like I've heard right-wing statists, use, like Bill O'Reilly use it to describe Obama. Like, well, I'm not going to disparage him because I don't disparage the office of the president.
Right,
but.
Right. Or how people got so offended when people would say, like, Barack Obama's not my president. How yeah. offended people got.
Because they'd say, no, he's everybody's president. That's how it works.
That's how it works. He has control of you.
Could be worse. China just outlawed jasmine flowers.
I don't know if they outlawed them, but they were cracking down on them. What was it? They took down when people tweeted things with jasmine in the word, they would block out the Chinese character that means jasmine.
Because of the jasmine revolution.
Because of the jasmine revolution. So, yeah, I mean, I guess last cast I was talking about how economically China can be a lot more free than us, but apparently still not socially. That's just insane.
Yeah.
And so goes to show you that the more powerful a state, the more monopolistic a state, the worse things can get.
They're affecting people who sell jasmine plants for a living. It's not just the word.
Right, right. And how have they busted people? Is it like, are they no, randomly it's that busting
kind of,
people?
It's that weird kind of Chinese shame. it's worse than being arrested in America.
It's the horizontal enforcement put with the pressure being put on from the top, squeezing
China also recently outlawed time travel in movies and books. Because they felt it was disrespectful to history.
Wow.
To the way they want to rewrite history.
They have the monopoly on time travel.
And, you know, this is where things are headed here if people don't do something. If people just sit by and say, well, yeah, having our jiggly parts grabbed in the airport is for our protection. You know, it leads to things like time travel being outlawed in movies.
Right, right. Well, speaking of jiggly parts, there was recently an LA Times article where they interviewed a psychologist about what to do, you know, when you're having your jiggly parts being felt up or if you feel you have your rights infringed upon. And the psychologist basically said his solution to people being upset about their rights being trampled on was to daydream.
Yes.
Think about something else. Think happy thoughts. So I think that sort of ties in. Last episode, you had a sort of distrust of that whole mental health field.
And if you're too lazy to daydream, they'll do it for you.
If they could, they would. If they could pump your mind full of propaganda without, you know, having to need a TV, they would totally do it.
Well, I have a theory that when they do come up with mind reading and mind control software, I mean, yeah, they'll probably do it forcefully. Like, yeah, you can get out of prison early if we can put this chip in your head. But I think a lot of people will volunteer to get it. It'll be, you know, the new iPhone app, the BrainBot 3000, and kids will line up to get it. You'll be able to tweet while you're in class, while your phone's in your pocket.
Yep, it'll be the hottest item for the Christmas season. And that's why when I think about dystopia, you know, we're both 1984 and Brave New World. I mean, people, it's the popular thing to do, to be involved in all the propaganda and the consumerism and the sort of government status quo. It's joining the team, and it's fun, and it keeps you from being bored, and this is what all the cool people do.
Well, I have a new way of looking at it. Instead of feeling horrified by all the statism, my new thing is just, that is so square. Statism is so square, man.
It is square.
It is. And no matter how hip you think you are, I mean, some of the hippest people are some of the squarest, really.
Right, right. And just think about how government is the definition of square. I mean, in my job as a reporter, I don't know how bored I get reading things from the government, going to government meetings. It is literally the boringest, squarest thing you could imagine. And so any government solution you have for anything, that's just square.
Well, as a kid, I thought that only Republicans were square because my dad was a Republican and he was square to me when I was a kid. So I thought, well, I'll be the opposite. I'll be a Democrat and that would make me not square. You know, and it took me 40 years to realize it's all square, man.
Unless Democrats are rectangles. No. Libertarians are fractals.
They're fractals. We're fractals. I like
we're broccoli shaped. We're spontaneous order.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. But with a golden selection.
With a golden selection?
With a yummy golden selection. Do you know about the golden selection?
No. What's the golden selection?
It's a mathematical thing that exists in nature. It's got to do with fractals, and it's got to do with...
I think I know that is the golden ratio.
There you go. Yes. I've heard it also called the golden selection when it's an actual rectangle. Like a movie screen is basically that ratio,
right.
And it's one of the most pleasing things to look at,
right.
And that's why movie screens evolved to be that ratio.
It works in music too, doesn't it, as far as timing goes? Is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's got to do with Fibonacci sequences too.
Exactly. Which is, again, spontaneous order.
Yes.
And nature often produces things using that ratio.
Which is, you know, in the absence of government regulatory bodies, the Fibonacci sequence would run the economy and keep the children safe.
I think that's a good point. I mean, if you think of the things that have been created randomly, they're much grander than anything the government has ever created. The sun, the solar system, our ecosystem, all the various ecosystems, they were all created with no czars, with no bureaucracies, with no focus groups. They just became...
Yeah, and even if you believe in a God that created them, a lot of the people that believe the most strongly in God are the people who think that we need the most control. That's kind of ironic to me. That's kind of square.
That's very square.
You know, if God can create this perfect order out of random chaos, why not let that work a little bit?
Right, exactly. And yeah, because God doesn't control things. If you do believe in creation, you do believe in God. He created things, but he doesn't actively intervene in them. We don't see the hand of God every day. He doesn't do it overtly.
Well, that's called the watchmaker analogy, and that's basically my theology. I do believe in God. I believe something created everything, wound it up, and walked away.
Perhaps, yeah. Or just let it grow like a garden. I think it's more like a garden.
Well, yeah, because wound it up and walked away implies that it's like dying, that it's each moment it's getting slower and worse. No,
well,
you're right.
Well, that's a theory too. I mean, nobody's figured that out yet. Some people think the universe is going to expand forever. Some people think it's going to expand until it slows down and collapses in on itself. Or it'll expand so much that it'll eventually just be so spread apart that it'll be pointless. So... that could work too.
Speaking of Christians, my state senator here in Wyoming, one of them, Mike Enzi, is putting up a constitutional amendment to give the power back to the states, which basically is an amendment to enforce the 10th Amendment, which I'm in favor of. You know, I only like laws that enforce negative rights, and we're going to talk about that. Negative rights are a good thing. Positive rights are bad things. But I wonder, too, if this passed, if
it'll
Wyoming,
just get ignored like the 10th Amendment does.
That or... Wyoming would use it to turn Wyoming into a Christian Sharia. I mean, Mike Enzi voted in favor of the Defense of Marriage Act, which prevents gays from getting married.
Right, and Wyoming did recently outlaw spice.
And we go on and on about the spice thing, but here's the we don't smoke spice. Spice is ridiculous. Even if I was going to take a drug, it wouldn't be spice. But it's like that. There's something from the Nazi occupation of someone wrote this thing that I really like. It's something like, first they came for the Jews. I did not speak up because I was not a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists. I did not speak up. And it goes on and on and on. And at the end, it's like, and then they came for me, but there was no one left to speak up. And I feel that way. We feel that way about freedom. We will stick up for a freedom to do something that doesn't affect us personally, because that's how you have to do it if you want to keep this from bulldozing over your life.
But Michael, if people smoke spice, there'll be a public safety endangerment. It will affect you.
I think government's a bigger public safety endangerment.
Exactly.
It is. I'm not afraid of some kid smoking spice and running into me. I'm afraid of the government arresting me for not breaking the law.
Yeah, exactly. My biggest fears are all, what do people think? The average person, when they see those lights behind them when they're driving, people get a chill. They think, oh crap, now I'm going to have to spend $250. The state is the enemy.
You know what I think when I see a cop behind me? I think that is so square.
Square dog.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Except sometimes square can be good, like if you're smoking a square.
I don't know what that is. I'm not up with the hip vernacular.
That's even old. That's what they say in Texas, at least when I was growing up. A square was a cigarette.
Well, speaking about old school, I schooled you on some hip hop that's so old school that you don't even know what it was. What do you think of that stuff?
The Last Poets. Yeah, they are dope. And you said, you know, if rappers want to reference it, but they do reference it. For instance, one of them says, you know, all y'all do is party and bullshit. You know, I think that's definitely been referenced in hip hop.
What originally I sent you was Gil Scott Heron's song, "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised," which you've certainly heard, right?
You will not not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions.
No, I actually hadn't heard that whole thing until I
that's
that
a great
one.
Song. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it was totally great.
But that's been referenced. You've heard that referenced, right?
Yeah, I've totally heard the reference, yeah.
Yeah. But that's from the early 70s. He actually was influenced to write that by an earlier song from 1968. This group called The Last Poets, which people pretty much agree is the first rap group. I mean, it's way before samplers or even mixing with turntables. It's four guys and one or two of them are playing congas and bongos, and then they take turns just dropping rhymes. I'll link it. There's this one song called Wake Up Niggers, which is just slaying. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Night descends as the sun's light ends, and black comes back to blend again.
And there's another one called When the Revolution Comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Baggage won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up.
Which
that's
Gil Scott Heron,
when the revolution comes.
Later,
yeah.
Yeah, Gil Scott Heron later took that and made it into a pop hit with different words called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. People that are into hip-hop should go check this stuff out. 1968, man. Can you imagine brothers rapping about the white man's blood will form a river in the streets in 1968? I mean, people are getting upset because Common read it at the White House.
Common read that poem at the White House?
No, because Common went to the White House.
Ah.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly was... Everyone on Fox was incensed about it.
Really? Ugh, yeah. That's why I don't watch Fox.
Yeah.
they were pissed off about Common at the White House. Because black people shouldn't be allowed at the White House?
No, because he supported some people that have been convicted of cop killing that he says have been convicted wrongly. And, you know, Fox is just like, well, if you've been convicted, you must have done it.
Right, right. But, and if it was a cop, you're definitely guilty before we even convicted you.
Jon Stewart and Colbert really laid into that in a really funny way. Stewart showed that scene from that movie CB4 that we watched together, remember?
Yeah, great movie. Chris
where,
Rock.
Yeah, where after the band breaks up for a while and they do their solo projects and the one guy's in like the African clothing and his rap is just, I'm black, y'all, I'm black, y'all, I'm blickety black, and I'm black, y'all. This is how the average Fox listener sees Common going to the White House. He showed a little of that rap and then they cut to the scene from Independence Day where the White House blows up. And then Colbert totally nailed it. He talked about that, and then he talked about Huckabee having Ted Nugent on play Cat Scratch Fever, and then he said, what kind of political statements have the people that go on Fox News made? And they showed this YouTube clip of, it's like cell phone footage of Ted Nugent on stage with an AR-15 saying, I'm going to make Hillary suck on this. I'm going to give Barack Obama some of this.
Nice, nice. Although on that Common thing, I'm probably more pissed at Common for going to the White House.
I know. Does anyone ever say no to the White House? I would. Not that I'd ever be invited.
That's a good question, because, you know, I would want to bitch out the president. That would be like the best thing in the world, just ripping.
People have done things like that. Like John Lennon, the Beatles were knighted at one point, and John Lennon gave back his medal because of, I think it was England's military involvement in Vietnam War.
Really? Oh, good, good
something.
For him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
that's
he like mailed it back.
Yeah, yeah. Again, on that, we were talking about rap, and we were actually talking about Gil Scott Heron. He's actually in the latest Kanye album. I don't know if you knew this, Michael. He's got this, I don't know if I'd call it rap, you know, even the revolution will not be televised. To me, it's more slam poetry.
Yeah.
But still, it's in the same family. It's
well,
the sprout.
It's a black person rhyming without singing a lot over some rhythmic music.
Well, it doesn't always rhyme either. I guess that to me is part of the.
Have you heard the song "The Message" by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five?
Oh yeah, that's broken glass everywhere.
That song.
Yeah. Broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the stage. You know they just don't care. I can't take the smell. Can't take the noise. Got no money to move out. I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room. Roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with the touch of repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging.
That slayed me when I was like 14 when that came out, or 13. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
And again, I wasn't alive then, but to me, that's the first rap song. When I think of the first rap song, what made rap, that's what I think of. I think of Grandmaster
Flash. These people are going to take over my neighborhood.
I was like, I want these people to take over my neighborhood. But in the new Kanye album, yeah, it's got Gil Scott hair on, and he says a rapist called Freedom, Free Doom. I think that's important to note, that I think a lot of people may be anti-establishment, but sometimes on the left, or sometimes from, you know, different groups like maybe the lower class or third world countries type things, when they think of freedom because of the way the establishment and the corporatocratists have branded themselves, a lot of times they think of what we have where the corporations through the government rape everybody, including the poor.
Yeah, a lot of lefties who hate capitalism don't really understand what they should be hating is corporatism.
Right.
And it's that kind of thing, you know, the Monsanto raping of the earth, globicide corporation kind of stuff can't happen without government.
It can't happen without
government. I mean, do you know about Monsanto?
A little bit. My mom's sort of always harping on it. My impression was, you know, they sort of, they patent certain seeds. They do all sorts of genetic modification, and the patents, you know, maybe don't run out. And they basically are trying to build a monopoly on food and the way food is used, and they use it through government regulations. They sort of clamp down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's footage of Bush the First touring their factory and saying, like, oh, we can get rid of these EPA regulations and FDA regulations. We can get this taken care of for you. You know, it's like the EPA and the FDA just exist to protect the big companies. I mean, do you know about this week the DOJ fined Google $500 million?
I think the hearing's still pending, isn't it? Like, Google can fight it.
Google has put that much money aside because they think they're going to have to pay that. And the so-called crime they're charged with is advertising Canadian pharmacies that provide a service that sell drugs to people that can't afford them here.
Oh, right, right. Most of the time, the government is used to protect special interests that pay politicians tons of money. That's almost the point. And, you know, a lot of the comments I've been reading, because Ron Paul has been getting a lot of press coverage, is some of the people on the left or the liberals say, oh, if Ron Paul might be right on things like the war, but if he was in office, the corporations would run over the world. They'd run over the poor people and screw them over. But the thing is, why do you think corporate donors never donate to Ron Paul? They like what they got right now. They like their sweetheart deals with the government, and they get that from both the left and the mainstream right. They get that from Obama just as they would have gotten it from McCain.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is both sides use language that confuses people. And I think, you know, when people say, you know, free markets are bad, not only is when the establishment uses terms like free markets, not only does it confuse those people, but it also fools people who may be freedom-minded. And they maybe think, oh, well, I have to vote. If I'm voting for Republicans, I'm voting for a free market. But really, you're voting for the same thing. You're going to get corporatism whether you vote for the left or the right.
Yeah.
Or the Democrats or the Republicans, at least.
Speaking of government forcing crap on us, what about this light bulb stuff? And, you know, I thought that was something Obama put through, but it's actually, I looked it up, and it's Congress put this through in 2007 under Bush.
Right, right.
You know, it was set to take effect January 1st next year. We are no longer going to be able to buy incandescent light bulbs.
Right. Ingesting mercury goes green, apparently.
I've checked them out. I've bought a couple to check them out. For one thing, they produce a really faint hum, an audio hum.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not acceptable to
me.
They
also look kind of dull. They make everything seem dull and dingy almost.
And 1984-ish.
Right.
They are very expensive. They don't last as long as they say they do. If they break, legally, you have to hire an EPA-certified cleanup crew to clean them up.
Right, because they have mercury and heavy metals in them.
Yeah, and they're going to put them around kids and old people and everywhere. Everyone's going to have this mercury in their house that they didn't have. What they really need to do before I'd want to use them is they need to encase them in plastic so put a plastic bulb around them, so if the inside breaks, the mercury is contained.
Right, right.
That's a no-brainer.
I think the important point with this, too, is, fine, I don't even want to argue the merits of one light bulb versus the other. I just want to rail against the fact that the government is choosing for me what kind of light bulbs I can put in my socket.
U.S. out of my socket.
U.S. out of my socket and U.S. out of my pocket. I wish it was both, but it's neither.
And there's LED bulbs, but they're one that's equivalent to a 100-watt bulb costs like $50.
Right.
You know, I have this theory that people are going to, unintended consequences, robbers are going to break into houses just to steal light bulbs. You know, screw the flat screen. You can steal four light bulbs and it's worth as much as the flat screen.
But how many robbers does it take to take out a light bulb, though?
Ooh.
That's the problem. Therein lies the flaw in your logic, Michael.
How many politicians does it take to change everybody's light bulb?
I don't know. How many are there in D.C.?
There's 535 in Congress and the Senate, plus the president.
Plus all the crats.
They're all snarkopusses.
Square crats, the haters. Snarkopuss.
Snarkopuss. Yeah. Well, speaking of U.S. out of my socket, South Carolina has put forth a Light Bulb Freedom Act.
That's great. At least, I mean, I know I was railing against, you know, laws that are just adding to the law amount of laws on the books, but I guess I do like it when states take a stand. And in Wyoming, we had the Firearms Freedom Act, and I think that's a good point to show we're not it's not because we love or hate certain things, it's because we hate it when you tell us what to do. And
we only like laws that limit other laws.
I never said I liked any laws.
I like laws that limit other laws, and I get argued on that too. You know, a lot of anarchists would say, or voluntarists would say, yeah, but any law is bad because it's part of that system. But I think that that's kind of pie in the sky theorist or not being based in reality. I cannot vote, but I can be happy when a law that undoes a bad law is passed. Like, for instance, the reality is that by law, starting July 1st, you can carry a concealed weapon in Wyoming without a permit. I think that's a good thing. The reality in California is that carrying a concealed weapon without a permit will get you a year or two in prison if you get caught, and they search people all the time, so you'd be much more likely to get caught there. I would like California to pass two or three more laws that undo those laws. I mean, really, if you think about it, the Bill of Rights is just laws that limit other laws, but they're not paid attention to anymore.
Right. And to me, that's the problem, is I don't even feel like we have a rule of law anymore. I mean, we do have a Wyoming Firearm Freedoms Act, but nobody has decided to build guns exclusively in Wyoming and throw up the middle finger at the feds yet. And nobody will, because they don't want to be the test case.
Somebody might in South Carolina with light bulbs, though. I mean, I imagine there's a lot of manufacturing there. There's probably an existing light bulb manufacturing concern that would do it.
And so is that law written the same way, as long as we don't cross state lines with our light bulbs?
Yeah, and they have to say made in South Carolina on them. Colbert was joking that it's going to start the Second Civil
right,
War.
Right, if at first you don't secede.
If at first you don't secede.
Try again. I know.
That'd be funny if it finally came down to that, is like it was over light bulbs.
You never know. And I think it's a good point. If they're going to force you, if they're going to make the decision for you as what light bulb you're going to buy, that's something everybody can see. And that's something that affects everybody.
Well, I think it's just a test case. I think it's intentionally done, you know, nothing to do with the environment. I think it's intentionally done to see what we can pass that will affect everybody and how they'll take it. Because, you know, if they outlaw something about guns or they outlaw something about drugs, that doesn't affect everybody.
Right, right.
But this is the first thing that kind of affects everybody.
Even the TSA doesn't really affect everybody because not everybody flies. It has the potential to affect a lot of people, but you don't fly. I mean, I fly every now and then, and usually I fly out of airports that are too small to have the big TSA radiationtrons. And
TSA is so square.
So square. F those square MFs.
So what's going to happen with Easy Bake Ovens if they get rid of light bulbs?
Well, the Easy Bake Oven was already – they banned the use of light bulbs in them already, I think, didn't they?
I
think it was already subject to some kind of czar or put on some kind of safety list, you know, just like lawn darts. The Kratz, and there's so many different agencies that pretty much every aspect of human life – has to have some say or some approval or has been in some kind of focus group or study that people have spent taxpayer dollars on. That
first they came for the incandescence, but I did not speak up because I did not use incandescence.
But the other thing is most people do, don't you? I mean,
yeah,
they're so much cheaper. And in 2008, back in the day, you know, I was on the bandwagon a bit. I even made a documentary about global warming, or helped make it. And back then.
You're making amends to the world now with everything you do.
I certainly hope so. But back then I went out and bought a bunch of them. It was like $16 a pop. And yeah, they just made my place look dingy.
When bulbs are outlawed, only outlaws will have bulbs.
Only outlaws will have bulbs.
Bulbs, not bombs. I'm done.
You're done? You're done with your puns?
Yeah. Yeah. U.S. out of my socket.
Out of my socket.
That sounds dirty.
Out of my pocket, too.
So what you got? And then we'll talk about positive and negative rights.
You know, they want us to have the dingy light bulbs. They also want us to have dingy clothes. We've talked about this before. They regulate what kind of chemicals go into your laundry detergent. You can still buy it standalone. I forget the name of the chemical, but you can buy it at the hardware store. But it's the thing that makes clothes clean. The government wants us...
For your soap, to add to your soap.
Right.
Well, I remember I used to have a van that only took leaded gas, and it was still running after they... It was a Dodge step van from like 1970 or something, and I had it in like, you know, 1990, and you couldn't get leaded gas most places, and I just had to carry around this really toxic little half-pint bottle of lead additive, and I'd fill up, and then I'd put a teaspoon of this stuff in my tank, and, you know.
Nice. Yeah, I can't even imagine that. I mean, that's another thing, and maybe that's part of a freedom fix, is things are really tyrannical these days, but things have been tyrannical for a long time.
I think that when they outlaw trans fats, there'll be a black market for just fat, you know? Like, hey, buddy, want to buy a pound of lard that you can mix in with your food to make it tasty?
Right, right. And the cartels will start killing people so they can scrape off their fat.
Well, I'm wondering if the cartels will start making black market incandescent bulbs, because a lot of the bulbs that I buy are made in Mexico.
Are they really? They made?
Yeah. The ones at Walmart here? Yeah.
Yeah. Although the feds would love it, because they just love the bulb smashing parties. They'd be like, oh yeah, we're going to be smashing some evidence over in Locker B. Come on.
They'd be bulldozing them.
Yeah. Just like I'm sure the whiskey barrel busters used to love that shit.
Oh, I know. They get a boner from it. So did you hear about DHS takedown request for the Mafafa Fire add-on for Mozilla?
Don't know what that is, no.
It was this add-on that somebody made. When sites are banned and seized by the government, it would automatically direct you to the new site for that site.
Oh, awesome. Kind of like, you know, there was the set of mirror sites for WikiLeaks when they took that down.
Yeah, and this is an add-on for Mozilla that will automatically take you to the new site.
Oh, that's amazing.
And the DHS sent Mozilla a takedown request that basically said, this is illegal, don't do it. And Mozilla defied it. They wrote back and said, we'll take it down if you can show us that it's illegal. We don't believe it's illegal. And they never heard back from them.
Nice. Although they will come back. It's just taking them a while because they're a bureaucracy.
Because they have to write the law to make it illegal.
Right. Exactly. Give us just a second. Because remember.
That is so square. So square.
Square. F it. Yeah. FTG.
You think they'll issue bulb stamps for poor people?
I hope so. I could use some of them myself.
See, I just wonder if this is the tipping point. You know, like, Colbert joked about it, but it's like, I keep hearing people say, you know, for the past 2 years, I've been hearing people say, like, when's the line going to be crossed? When's it going to be time? Which basically means, when are some people going to take violent action in revolt?
Does it have to happen that way? Do we have to take violent action to
revolt? No, it doesn't. And it, well, first of all, those people are pussies because they keep saying that and then they don't do it, which I'm not playing devil's advocate and I'm not saying they should do it. And it wouldn't turn out well. There's not going to be another civil war. The police are too militarized. It would just turn out to be 1,000 Wacos, you know?
Yeah.
But where is the tipping point where people just stop supporting it?
I don't know, because, you know, as far as I go, everything I see is my tipping point. Everything I see, I'm like, God, there's no way I could ever support or say anything good about the system as it stands. And I think more and more people are feeling that way. The thing is, I don't know what happens when you say we've reached the tipping point. I mean, does everybody just withdraw their consent, and how does that look?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, it's kind of like, I guess you have to revert to sci-fi because it hasn't happened in America. I mean, has it happened in the Arab nations?
Well, it almost seemed that way. I mean, you had the protest in Egypt, and I guess that could happen. I guess we could all, although the problem in a country as big as America is, yeah, we have 300-something million people, but we have such a vast expanse of land. I mean, we're not going to all be able to get to Washington. That kind of sucks. I have to travel thousands of miles just to protest. That's the problem with having such a centralized government in such a large country anyway. And even in Egypt, they got Mubarak to step down. But, you know, the military is running things now. And that's the problem, is when you have this whole apparatus set up, it's easy for somebody to just come in and take it over.
Well, another thing with so-called velvet revolutions, which are revolutions that happen without violence or without much violence, they pretty much only happen when the existing government is ready to just step down and walk away. I mean, it happened in the Czech Republic in the 60s.
Right. I guess it's when a government so much so loses legitimacy. And you know, that's not to say that that couldn't happen. I mean, Ron Paul always says, what happens when the checks bounce? What happens when your Social Security check? What happens when your military paycheck or your police paycheck? What happens when they bounce?
And a lot of people think we're like 18 months away from that. And I've read things from 10 years ago that thought we were 18 months then away from it. But I think they'll find some way to prop it up and massage it and lie and make it sort of still function. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but if gas were $10 a gallon, I could still survive. I just don't drive that much.
Yeah.
Don't give me any ideas.
I guess that's the problem, is we don't know how it looks. And that's always been sort of the anarchist or the minarchist problem, is how do you get from there to here? And I don't know the answer. And if somebody could come up with the answer, that's the million-dollar question right there.
Well, I think a lot of it's education. This kind of education, not public school education.
This kind of education and pushing the envelope and things like that. But
I think it's people's duty to listen to some alternative media every day.
Are you going to enforce that by law?
Yeah. No, just if you don't want to be square. I'm going to enforce it by if you don't want to be square.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really into shame. No, I'm kidding. I just think that, like, rebranding something as square is better than laws.
Yeah.
Think about all the sexual mores that were enforced by the church without laws.
Yeah, yeah.
It works. And I'm not saying we need to live in guilt, but I think that in Libertarian Paradise, no one would do business with the guy who's done the crime and not paid for it and not paid the person back.
Right, right.
And that's a kind of shame. That's a form of shame.
Or like a credit score. You could have a freedom score.
Yeah, a freedom score. I like that. I'd like to think I'd have a 1400 or whatever the highest is, but I don't know. I probably have to learn to shoot a rifle better to get that score.
You're not bad, man.
I know I'm not bad. I just feel like I'm bad because I hang out with people who are like, if you can't shoot an 18-inch target at 500 yards with iron sights, you're not a man.
Well, I guess me and you are kind of latecomers. I mean,
I
didn't shoot a real gun until, you know, I was in college. I mean, I shot BB guns all the time when I was a kid, but I didn't shoot anything that was rimfire or centerfire until I was in college.
I shot a 22 as a kid a little bit, but a problem that I had was I did believe that guns were violent. I mean, I had relatives that were not violent and hunted, but I kind of thought that if you owned a gun, you were a bad person in a way.
Because you grew up in California. No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. I grew up in New York State, but I grew up in rural New York State. It wasn't anyone around me. It was like TV. And it was also, I was a conscientious objector. I was anti-war, you know, watching the Vietnam War as a five-year-old. And to me, it was like, well, they're using guns. Guns must be bad.
Right.
Also, no, you know what it was? It was my sisters. I had hippie sisters.
Ah, I see. Well, again, you know, it's not the guns that are bad. It's how you use them.
So talk about negative rights and positive rights, and then we'll wrap up.
We only have a few minutes. I don't know if that's enough time to devote to negative and positive rights.
I could break it down.
Break it down.
Negative rights are good. Positive rights are bad and made up. Negative rights, it's protecting you from intrusion. Like the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, they don't grant rights, but they codify true negative rights. You have the right to not be infringed. A positive right is a made up right, like everybody has the right to free health care. And someone asked me, if the right to health care means free health care, does the right to bear arms mean the right to free guns?
That's a really good way of looking at it. And that's why healthcare isn't a right, because you can't have a right that depends on violence against other people. I don't have the right to your breakfast.
I mean, we could talk for hours on negative rights versus positive rights, but I think we just kind of surmised it.
Right, right. Maybe the language is kind of confusing, though, because, you know, negative rights are good, positive rights are bad. Maybe we need to rebrand it some other way.
Negative ions are good. You know, people buy negative ion generators.
Okay.
Can you buy a negative right generator?
Okay.
No, because negative rights exist. You'd have to buy a negative right enforcer. And you buy positive right generators by voting for statists. And that is so square.
That's so square, dog.
Yep.
Word.
Patriotism is just an accident of birth.
And again, that's another confusing language thing, because some people say patriotism is loving freedom, and it's the opposite of nationalism. But I think patriotism in the way you're thinking of, yeah, it's just rooting for the home team, whoever they may be, and it's only dependent on birth, and that's a problem. We should always root for freedom over any kind of geographical monopoly of force.
Well, you know where America really went wrong? I mean, basically, first of all, creating the Federal Reserve, but a little bit later, in the 30s, FDR came up with something called the Four Freedoms, which
included like food, right? You had the right to food on the table.
Well, yeah, it was three real freedoms. You know, it was like freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of protection, which, you know, should mean basic military to keep your country from getting bombed and not being interventionist. But then he added this like freedom from want.
Ah, and that's the key.
You know, Obama probably masturbates to a picture of FDR. I mean, he really is the first progressive statist American president.
FDR? No, Wilson was that way too. Wilson was sort of the proto-FDR, and there could be one before that. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about presidential
history. Well, yeah, I mean, George Washington went to war with Americans to pay for the revolution.
There you go. And that's that. But yeah, I guess negative rights to me are just freedom. Negative rights are you don't have the right to tell me what to do. And that's the main negative right. Positive rights make no sense because they're not really rights. Positive rights are saying the government will take this from this person always to give to you and you deserve it. Positive rights are just entitlements.
Yeah. You know, we didn't even get a chance to talk about Texas's drinking while brown laws. I think we'll save that for next time.
There you go.
Because we got to wrap up.
That's a reason to listen to next time. There you go. We're going to talk about drinking while brown being illegal in Texas.
Yeah. So we got T-shirts for sale on the website. And I like to remind people to go on iTunes and rate and review this podcast because that helps it get seen by more people. And tell two friends.
Also, check out the Guns and Weed website. My little brother just bought a Guns and Weed t-shirt that he wore to work the other day. Texted me, said he was very proud. And I said, you know, thank you. Thank you for the support.
What's his job? What's he do?
He works on a yacht. I don't know what he does there. He's sort of he's a service boy for a yacht or something. I don't know what he does, but he basically helps rich people get drinks.
Ooh, he's a cabana boy.
Hey, now. Then he wouldn't need the shirt.
Maybe he'll marry some rich widower.
There you go.
Widower. Not widower.
And she can fund the podcast.
It's funded.
Well, she can pay us.
She could fund your brother.
Okay, fine. I guess he can get some too. But that wouldn't be a positive, right? Because he would have negotiated through voluntary action by surrendering a bit of his ween to the old lady.
Freedom weens, yo.
Freedom weens.
So that'd be a negative, right? And it would be a win-win situation, probably.
Definitely. If you're entering into it, it must be win-win. Otherwise, it wouldn't be.
Your brother's going to hate this. We ended the podcast with conjecturing about him screwing
Grandma. Nah, he won't hate it because at least he'd be getting some pussy.
Yeah.
he's going to hate that. All right, man.
Worms.
Freedom fiends.
Worms. All right. Later.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.